Voices of the Industry, the Apps Alliance podcast.
There's a sad reality in the app economy today that most apps are not making enough money to be considered standalone businesses. As more freemium models become popular, developers are faced with app discoverability and monetization issues. A report released by Quantcast over the weekend said that less than 1% of the apps have more than 50,000 users. But is there a light at the end of the tunnel? Today, I have Gary Yenton of AppPromo to discuss a developer survey that AppPromo did and talk a little bit about the app developers who don't give up. Gary, thanks for coming on. Before we get started, would you like to introduce yourself and AppPromo?
Sorry. Thank you, Mike. Thanks for inviting me. And AppPromo has been in business for 5 years, and we really focus on helping developers with the business of applications. So this is a business like any other business, like opening up a coffee shop. So you really have to focus on the fundamentals, and we work with them on strategy, monetization, and any aspect that will help them increase the discovery of their applications. And we've been doing it, as I said, for quite some time with some great success, but it's still a challenge. So I'm glad that we're having this podcast.
Absolutely. So let's dive right in here. AppPromo conducted the survey last year, and you found that 81% of developers aren't making enough money to consider their app a business, like you said, a successful coffee shop. That's a pretty dismal and discouraging outlook for a new developer. Is there any kind of a silver lining in your findings?
I think what we did find is those who really spend the time to do the research and to understand the marketing of their application have a much better chance to succeed. Not to say that marketing is the panacea and the golden egg to make it successful for everyone. At the base, you have to have a really quality app. You have to have a good idea, and you have to execute that idea really, really well. If you do have that, then you actually have to start to plan from the beginning for marketing. And the one thing that we found out is that people who do plan for marketing from the day they come up with the concept of the application are those that are more aligned to succeed.
The issues of discoverability and monetization have been around for since the beginning of apps. Even this time last year, the Application Developers Alliance put together a white paper on app discoverability, which AppPromo is very influential in, and not much has changed over the past year. A lot of our Alliance members, including AppPromo, continue to help developers understand these business challenges, but it seems like there are some core issues that need to be tackled first. So what are developers doing to market their apps, those who are succeeding?
Well, I think the big game changer really was Facebook. I mean, Facebook unleashed a Goliath here, like a real beast in offering their mobile app installs. So they have the targeting, they have the inventory, and really, to be very frank, that's where most of the developers are going now. The problem is not the problem. The challenge is that it's really good, but it's very expensive. Mm-hmm. And so again, it goes back to what we discussed with the fundamentals. We're still shocked that people don't understand how much they can spend on an acquisition to get a user to download and to engage with their application. It goes back to the fundamentals, but even if you're doing best guess estimates, you really have to understand that, because if you don't, then you don't know what you can afford to spend to acquire that user. On the flip side, you have to know how much revenue that you can generate off that user. And again, we're shocked, when people develop applications, they have no clue what the potential long-term value. Of course, it's just a guesstimate. But again, you should understand there are levers that you can pull saying that I can generate potentially, best case scenario, $3, $4 from a user. If that's the case, then just simple math tells you can't spend more than $2 to acquire that user. Otherwise, you're going to be in the hole. But it's, again, very surprising, these fundamental issues that, for any, as we said at the beginning, any business, the developers still aren't thinking. That said, there's a very large group of developers who are very aware of that. Top of the line people, obviously, like the Kings, the Candy Crush, the EAs, the Zynga, Supercell. I mean, they're very much aligned, and it's all about data. Our goal is to help the small to medium-sized developers who don't have a huge team. They don't have a marketing research company behind them. They don't have marketing analytics behind them. But again, you know, with help with us, other agencies, or even asking friends, or just even thinking about it, that actually makes them a little bit more aligned to success. But if you don't think and you don't ask the questions, you're definitely going down a very dark, dark road.
So more than half of the developers in your survey aren't using any kind of advertising to increase discovery. Are in-app ads a viable method? You mentioned some of the bigger names in gaming, and that seems to be a popular model there. What are some of the types of ads that are available to developers to drive downloads?
Yeah, there's a lot of different forms of ads. And as we said, Facebook has changed it with the Facebook mobile ad units. But, you know, I think what we really emphasize is measurement, right? So I can do an ad on YouTube, but if I really can't equate that spend to an actual download, is it really worthwhile? There are different forms of ads that you can do. There's different inventory that opened up that didn't exist actually, you know, 2 years ago. Twitter now has it. You know, there's all these new opportunities that are opening up to developers, which are great, but I think are also very confusing because you don't have historical data. You don't know if it's going to work for you. I think what we always say is you can afford to test a little bit somewhere, everywhere, anywhere. So, you know, even if your budget isn't huge, you can still learn from $50, you know, $50 here, $100 there. But most important thing is test, because again, from our survey last year to even like 2 years ago, there's new channels that have opened up. So whether it's Facebook, whether it's Instagram, whether it's Pinterest that just opened up their units, you know, Twitter, all these are new channels. And the good news with new channels is it's not as, you know, crowded as it is with the existing ones. Facebook now is very crowded. And so what people were used to be able to get when it first opened up about a year and a half ago, installs for around $1.50. Now we see people paying up to $3 to $5 to $7 on wow. Facebook installs, which is crazy. But again, if that works for their business, so be it. But, you know, with every good opportunity also comes more competition and more demand. Obviously, you know, basic economics means the more demand, the price rises. So, you know, Facebook used to be a good acquisition tool. It still is, but you have to be aware that it's pricey. And, you know, the networks are all out there, whether it's the millennials or the Moji. I mean, there's just hundreds of ad networks out there. So, you know, what I find very funny is that everyone's buying from everybody else. So there's really, this might get me in trouble. There's no difference. I think that it's just a big, you know, mess out there. What comes down to it is really understanding and targeting your audience. That's number one, and good creative and good call to action. We fail to remember that, again, we're selling something to somebody. We have to make it look interesting and sexy. We have to make them want it. And whether it's a native ad or whether it's a banner ad, whether it's a pop-up, whatever, we still have to have good creative and good design. And I'm constantly surprised by some of the stuff that I see out there that isn't well thought out or well designed.
And you've mentioned a couple of different paid acquisition channels, particularly social media platforms. What about for a developer that, yes, may be trying some of this paid strategy? What other basic marketing methods are there that are available to developers?
Well, I think the first and foremost, which is the easiest and probably the cheapest, is blogs, you know. And if you have a blog, start to write about it. I mean, everyone now has the opportunity to get themselves onto social media, and it doesn't cost anything. Of course, you have to cultivate a following, but there's ways that you can get people to blog about you or talk about you. So I think that bloggers and influencers are really important. We also do a lot of ASO, App Store optimization, because that's organic and people are searching. So the easier they can find you, the better that you have the keywords. The more likely they're going to download you because, you know, it's finding it in an organic way. But blogs, posts, you know, YouTube videos are very effective. So everyone can make them. So, you know, it's a question of obviously getting the audience, but who knows, you know, with a very creative YouTube video, it could go viral. You could win the lottery. All of those things actually make a big difference. So I think that users have to be just creative, use the tools that are out there. And again, some of them are free. email marketing, you know, people forget, but email marketing really works. And if you have the right landing page and you study the right audience, email marketing can be a very effective and cost-effective tool to acquire users. So sometimes the old school is just as good as the new school. You know, the thing is, we can still say that if you send a direct mail piece, the problem is you won't be able to really track it unless you put a promo code onto it. Mm-hmm. But direct mail still works. I mean, people still get mail the traditional way. What we're trying to do is find cost-effective ways, right? So with mail, you have to do print and postage and all the rest of it. So in a digital age, email, which people threw out saying, oh, you know, forget about email. I can do a banner ad and so on and so forth. But now with, you know, mobile usage really surpassing desktop usage, I don't know the exact numbers, but I would anticipate at least 75 to 80% of people who see their email see it on a mobile device. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. You've resolved one of the challenges, you know, targeting. So if I'm looking at email on a mobile device and I have a link to click to download the application, I don't have to get off my phone. One click, download, there goes the app.
Right. And you've mentioned social media, email marketing, landing pages. What would kind of be like a checklist at the launch of an app?
I think at basic, you want to have interaction and dialogue with your user base. And, you know, Facebook is a great way from a CRM perspective, as well as Twitter. So I think the three basic ones that, you know, everyone should at least look towards is Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. YouTube really has the potential, if you do create something really fun, can go viral. Also, if you're doing an application and you're on Android, you have to have a video because, you know, Amazon and Google Play allows you to have video in your actual description. So it's lost if you don't. And now Apple's looking to also potentially include that in your iTunes description. The best way to really market a video, to market an application, is with sound and motion because the application has sound and motion. Mm-hmm. So videos are a very effective way to do it. And you're seeing a lot of the newer, you know, mobile ad networks where they're, you know, they're all getting into video now. And so it's becoming a very effective tool for acquisition and the numbers are coming out. But I'm a big proponent of video because everyone can do it. It's, you know, you don't have to hire a professional. You can do something really fun, or you can just screen capture your app and then put a soundtrack behind it. So, you know, these are opportunities I think that are not expensive, but have the potential to really boost your awareness and ultimately your downloads.
You know, you talked a little bit about App Store optimization, and a lot of people will say that App Store search is broken. A lot of folks think. Now, what do you think about that? Is it search that's broken, or is it the way people are listing apps? Well, what's really the root issue there?
It's really difficult. I mean, I'm sure that you, Mike, and everyone, when you search for an app, what do you get? You know, you get, well, I mean, that was the whole scandal of the Flappy Birds, right? Which taking over the Angry Birds and all the rest of it. But, you know, the App Store, the algorithms that Apple have are not the greatest. And when you do search on an iPhone, you only see one screen, right? So it's really difficult. And you only see probably one or two apps in comparison. So searching on a small device with ASO and you're trying to get people to download it, number one, if it's not accurate, you've blown it there. And number two, if you don't have the great graphics to really, you know, engage that user or get them excited, you've blown it as well. So I think search, especially in App Store, has a long way to go. But the good news is people are talking about it and people are doing things about it. And hopefully it's, well, put it this way, I don't think it can get worse. So it can only get worse.
One of the interesting things that happened over the past couple of weeks in the app world was the introduction of Uber as a method of transportation in Google Maps. From a marketing perspective, I thought this was really interesting because it was one of the first times that the Uber's usefulness, Uber's utility, was just introduced right to me in the moment when I need it. From a marketing perspective, what other opportunities do you think there are out there for kind of this app marriage, if you will?
Well, there's a lot. I mean, I think you nailed it when you said the utility. If you can function utility with, you know, an application that helps you with that, I mean, for the weather, you know, it's a no-brainer. I would say that, you know, any of the companies who are really thinking about, especially with, you know, summer coming along and, you know, sun and sunscreen and cancer. I mean, there's so many other utilities that can marry the apps with something that actually affects your life. And Uber transportation, it's a natural. We can go to health. I mean, you're going to start to see a lot more, especially with the wearable technology coming into play. But I would definitely see that. I think you're right online in terms of that marriage. And, you know, then you actually have the audience and the utility. That's a good marriage.
Yeah. So in a previous episode, we found out that it can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to build a quality application. What about marketing? What kind of costs should an app developer expect to incur?
Well, you know, we always used to joke around, but I think now that marketing is overtaking the actual development, because, you know, to get your investment back in your development, you have to have a strong marketing budget. We used to say 1-to-1, but, you know, that didn't really make sense because, you know, the person who put in $20,000 said, oh, I'll put in $20,000 to market my app. And that's great. But I mean, $20,000, depending on your app, the category and what your goals are, it's a tough battle. I mean, I think what you're seeing now is that, and what we found in the survey as well is it's slow and steady wins the race. So that marketing is an ongoing effort. And trying to get away from that feature of the burst campaign that, oh, I have to put all my money in the first week. Because I'll tell you honestly, and this is not, I mean, this is the truth. No one's going to make their money back in the first week.
Right.
It's going to take time. So I don't understand, like, you know, in talking to a lot of people with different clients saying, oh, I'm going to give you $30,000. And in their mind, they think that they're going to make their money back because they just gave you $30,000. And it's a real, you know, revelation and a shocker to say, you know what? You actually will lose money that first week because you're not going to recover, you know, an investment that you maybe spent 6 months developing $100,000. And it's great that you put the $30,000, but that's just the testing ground, you know, that's the launch. So it's an ongoing process. So I think that you have to have a very strong and flexible budget, but at least, you know, nowadays, and again, I hope it doesn't get me into trouble, but I would say, you know, depending on your category and what your goals are, I think the entry is around 20 to 25,000 because it's just, you know, you can see the fixed to indexes, you can see what people write and the acquisition cost of a quality user who, you know, downloads and engages with your application is going close to $2. And, you know, obviously, you just have to do the math and there's enough historical data to say, okay, even if I had $25,000, best case scenario with, you know, $2 acquisition cost, that's 12,500 downloads. It's not even going to get me up in the rankings in the gaming category. You know, we can all say that honestly. So
right.
I think there's enough historical data to help people. Clearly, you know, you have to spend and not just on the burst or the launch, but throughout the process of your app. Because, you know, once you figure out if you're fortunate, that secret sauce, you know, and you say you spend $2 and they make $4, you're going to spend throughout the life cycle of your application. Why would you stop?
Yeah. And so you've talked about trying different things with user acquisition and really leveraging your data. You've talked about the basic set of marketing needs that need to be met. And we've talked about how it doesn't just stop at launch and it's a continuous spend and not really putting your eggs in one basket. Do you have any other words of advice for our audience?
I would say try different things. We're really now pushing YouTube influencers. And with this whole new you know, ecosystem of stars and influencers who really talk to a very loyal audience, especially with the gaming audience, I think that's a very interesting opportunity. There, some of the stuff is, you know, experimental. Other stuff, obviously, you know, you can test and try. But, you know, you're going to see a lot more, like, look what just happened with Google, you know, looking to buy Twitch, right, for $1 billion. Yeah, you know, there's these whole live stream gaming, there's esports, there's so many different opportunities. I think unfortunately, the challenge is people are very short-term minded. And all they can think about is that I spend $2, I get a download. I spend it. So it's very much, you know, CPA, CPI based. I think that, you know, we'll see more and more people going around that and thinking a little bit differently, because there's all these channels that didn't exist before, you know, Twitch TV, esports, YouTube influencers. And I'm sure, you know, I can say this honestly, there'll be other channels that'll pop up, Mike, that didn't exist, you know, this year or last year. There's always something evolving. So, you know, you have to really keep yourself current of what's out there and try things out. So, you know, Facebook, you know, the mobile ad networks, ASO, those are, you know, tried and true. They're almost like the old school right now. So trying to push the new school and see what happens, because you know what? It can only get better. It can't get worse. So
absolutely. Well, Gary, I appreciate you coming on. I think there's a lot of really great advice here for early stage developers and even some later on, but we'll definitely be interested to see how this data evolves over time and how the discoverability models really make themselves more prevalent as to being better or worse. And but thanks for coming on.
And this is non-scripted. You know, I think people should also take advantage of resources. The App Developer Alliance has some great resources. This is not a plug, but it's the truth. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there. And if you don't know, it can be daunting. But the good news is organizations like yourself really do have a load of information. And actually, you know, we're glad to be a member because you do really good work.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot, Gary.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Industry. For more podcasts, visit the Apps Alliance at devsbuild.it or subscribe on iTunes.